Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your life, for your sacrifice. And Lord, I just pray tonight that you would open our hearts to the truth of your word, to the truth of your gospel, and you would speak to us in a powerful way. I pray you'd move us tonight, Lord, to not stay where we are, but to go where you'd have us go. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to share with you, and really, as I have thought all day long today, I have felt like that maybe tonight would be the most important message that I've preached at Hillview Heights Church. And while the message is for everybody, if you're under 30 years old, I really want you to listen, because I'm praying for that generation, for your hearts to be so broke for the things of God. And I'll explain all that a little bit better. But I think one of the things that happens is you ever do something, you not know why you do it, but you do it, and you're not sure why. I mean, I'm sure you've heard the story of the young lady who finally moved away from home, met a guy, she married him, and one night she's making this roast, and you know, she gets this big roast out, and she just cuts the ends off of it and puts it right in the pan, puts it in the oven. And her husband sees this. He says, "Now, why do you cut the ends off?" He's looking at the ends. It's just a big, nice, it's a piece of meat. He said, why do you do that? And she said, "You know, I don't know." She said, "That's what my mom always did. When she got the roast out, she cut the ends off, put it in the pan." So they called the mother. And she said, "Well, that's what my mom always did. I'm not sure why." So they call the grandmother and they ask her, "Why did you do that?" And the grandmother said, "Because I never had a pot big enough for the roast." And I feel like for you and for me, there are some things that we do, we're not sure why, and some things that we don't do, and maybe we're not sure why. And I want to share this with you. And I want to tell you, I said this may be the most important message I preach. I'd say it'll definitely be one of the most controversial. I'm going to share some things with you tonight that may be difficult for you to hear. And since this won't be a forum tonight where you can stand up and ask questions, you can email me, ward@hillview.com. Give me a call here, church. I'd love to talk to you. But here's my prayer. Whatever your response, that it would be in obedience and seeking the face of God. You know, I've told you before, I love preaching on Wednesday night. There's no other time I'd rather preach, and that's how it should be. But I think us together here, we are missing a great opportunity. You hear us all the time saying that you ought to invite people to come to church. We have an opportunity that the folks on Sunday don't have, and that is this. You know, there's a lot of people you know and that you love who just aren't going to come to Hillview Heights Church on a Sunday morning. And it has nothing to do with who's preaching or the music or anything. They just don't want to be in a crowd that big. There's a lot that's going on. But they might be willing to come on a Wednesday night. And I'm afraid that maybe we've just gotten lax in inviting people to come and be a part. And that's just a secondary thing. You know, I've prayed for our altar time on Wednesday night. You know, that God would move us to the altar. I've told you before, it's not a magical place. It's not that you can communicate with God any better at the altar than you can your chair, but what I like about the altar is the positioning of it. We come and we kneel down, we get on our knees, or however you come to the altar, and there's something about that that has an intensity of seeking the Lord. And so as I share these things with you tonight, I'm going to ask that you have a very prayerful heart about these things. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. Now, you know about the church at Corinth. I mean, they are divided. They're always fighting about something. There's always divisions. It's usually not over some gigantic issue, but Paul's always having to address them on these things. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul cuts to the heart of the matter. He says in verse 12, 2 Corinthians 3, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, you and I, the believers at Corinth, Paul, the hope that we have, you think about it, the hope that we have. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are very bold. And so when Paul uses this word bold, I don't know what you think of when you hear the word bold. You know, I don't know what you do when you go to a store and they ring something up and it doesn't ring up for what you thought it should be. Now, if it rings up for less, well, clerk should have been paying more attention, right? If it rings up for more, some would say bold is saying something about it. You know, I'm horrible. Somebody comes to work at my house and do something, and they say, I don't remember what we discussed, and quite honestly, I don't either. And they give me a bill, and I just feel like it's really high. What do I do? What do I do? I just say, okay. Sounds fair with all my knowledge of wiring or whatever. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. And obviously, Paul is talking about the gospel and our presentation of the gospel in people's lives. We have this hope, and because of the hope that we have, we are very bold. He says this, we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. You remember, Moses went to the mountaintop. He wanted to see the glory of God. Well, the glory of God is so overwhelming and so blinding, God had Moses turn around, and all Moses saw was the reflection of the glory of God off the rock. And the Bible says his whole face is shining, and he puts a veil over it, he comes down because the glory's fading away. Well, we live in a time when the glory's not fading away, it's ever increasing. Did you hear that? That's a word. He says, so don't be like Moses. Don't put that veil over the glory of God. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. And so we read the law, and I always get a little, you know, wondering why people are so passionate about having the Ten Commandments in the courthouses and in their yards and all that. And it's not that I'm against it at all, but I want you to think about what the Ten Commandments really said. Here's what the Ten Commandments really said. You can sum it up. You can put this sign in your yard. The Ten Commandments said, go to hell. That's what the Ten Commandments said. Because you are not going to be able to do what the Ten Commandments requires of you. But it's okay, because the prophets told us there was one coming who would fulfill that law in each of our lives. And so their minds were made dull. There was no way that they could understand or comprehend the glory of God or what it is that God has wanted. It said it has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. And so let me tell you about you. Let me tell you something about you. Everybody look up here. I want everybody to hear this, because I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me. Every one of us, before Jesus, we were sprinting towards hell as fast as we could go. Every one of us, because the Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags to God. So whatever good I was doing, it wasn't good. And I was living the life I wanted to live, making the decisions that I wanted to make, doing the things that I wanted to do. And in essence, I was sprinting towards hell as fast as I could go. There was a veil over me. I couldn't get it. I couldn't understand it. Do you remember, before you were a believer, when you would go to church and somebody would preach the gospel and you'd sit there and say, I have no idea what they're talking about? Or maybe you sat there and you said, I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on. All those people going, I don't get it. But do you then remember the day that you sat there and the gospel was preached and the veil was removed, and then you got it? And you understood that you were a sinner in need of God's grace. As a matter of fact, what you understood is that Jesus was the only hope that you would have. Do you remember that? And y'all being very quiet. And it's okay with me if you want to get a little excited about the veil being removed. And I say that, some of you are sitting here tonight, and you've been coming, and you don't get it. Doesn't make much sense. That's because there is a veil, and only Jesus can remove the veil. Listen to what he goes on to say. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The veil's taken away. I want to share with you some things about this Christian life and our call to this Christian life. And I want to share this with you with all the humility in my heart. You and I have a responsibility to carry the gospel and to share Jesus with others. The question that I am most often asked, especially from young people, raise your hand if you're 30 and under. Go ahead, real high. Be proud. You're young. That's a good thing. No, not twice, honey. Sorry. I want you to know that these things I preach, I really believe. And I believe it is important for you and I to share the gospel. And a question I am most often asked, if I've loaded up all the questions I've been asked, is I get asked this question about what happens to people who never hear the gospel? What happens to them? Now, I'll be honest, I don't get that question asked much in churches. And yet, in conversations with people from church, 90% of the people that I talk to who are part of a church and go into church and faithful and say they believe in Jesus, he's the Son of God, died for their sin, most of them believe if you never hear the gospel, you're going to be okay. But I want to share with you some precious things that God's word teaches us, not just about ourselves, but about those that are around us. The Bible, first of all, says this, for all have sinned. So who has not sinned? Somebody said Jesus. You're right. Jesus has not sinned. He's the only one. That's why he went to the cross, because he was sinless and his sacrifice would mean something to the glory of God. But the Bible says everyone has sinned. And I don't think tonight I've got to do much convincing for you to believe that everybody has sinned. Even that precious, precious person in your life that you love so much, maybe it's your granny, you know she has sinned. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So every person born is born with that sinful nature and is thereby a sinner. So the next question is, in what way are you and I responsible for our sin? In what way is a person responsible for their sin? And again, this is the Bible addresses this clearly. The wages of sin is, come on now, the wages of sin is death. And not that we're excited about that. Not that we celebrate that the wages of sin is death, but it's truth. The wages of sin is death. That's why I said in the beginning that for all of us here before Jesus, we were sprinting to hell as fast as we could go. Because the wages of sin is death. The wages of my sin, death. The wages of your sin, death. The wages of any person, you fill in the blank, you point to them, you tell me where they live, the wages of their sin is death. This is real. This is real. And so if every person is a sinner, and if the wages of sin is death, then that means all of us corporately, collectively, individually, we're running to hell as fast as we could go. And only Jesus could take that veil away. Only Jesus could do that. The reason I wanted to point out those of you who are 30 years old and younger, and this does not exclude anybody 30 years and older, but I want to make a special plea. I remember that time in my life. Is it a busy time in your life when you're under 30? Yes, it's a busy time. Let me help you. It only gets busier. It doesn't slow down. It doesn't slow down. It's always busy. But I had opportunities in my 20s that I will never have again. Now, I'm thankful to God I took some of those opportunities, but not all of them. You see, I believe that every person needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe every person needs to be introduced to the person of Jesus for the hope that their veil would be removed. And if I were sitting here tonight and I was, you know, under 30, and please hear me, I have not said that you're not busy. But you have some opportunities that a lot of people don't. And maybe a lot of you that are over 30, maybe you missed those opportunities. That there is still hope. But if I were sitting here tonight, and I could go back to that time, I would make sure that sometime throughout every year that I went somewhere and I served on a mission trip. I would make sure that I'd go and do that, that I'd go somewhere. And here's what I'm saying. Everybody look at me. So if you're under 30, I think you got to go home tonight. You ought to pray and you ought to spin the globe and you ought to put your finger down and you ought to go somewhere and serve some other people and share the gospel of Jesus with them. You see, when I hear churches say, well, we're missional. Well, if you're a Christian, you're missional. Because God has made it that way. We see from the very beginning. Everybody listen. In the book of Genesis, from the very beginning, God told Abram that his seed would go and go and go and be a blessing to the nations. God always knew what he was going to do. God always knew what he would do and who he would send. And if you're a follower of Jesus, then it's his desire to send you. You see, the truth is, if you don't know Jesus, and for folks that don't know Jesus, the Bible says there is a veil. That's God calling right now. There is a veil, and only those who turn to Christ, only those who trust him will have that veil removed. And God does that. God does that. Now, I want to preach to you tonight and to me tonight, because I believe that this is true. I still believe in a holy Bible, and I still believe in an old rugged cross, and I still believe in a risen Savior, and I still believe he's the only hope for the world. And I believe it, and I mean it, and I want to live my life that way, and I want us to live our lives that way, because it matters. Some of you would say, but if I start sharing the gospel with my friends or my coworkers or the people in my neighborhood, they're not going to want to be around me, and then you can finally know how certain the hope is that you have. Paul says just a few verses before in the previous chapter, he says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us, listen, through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And so when that veil is removed, when God does that, and I've had those moments when maybe there's somebody I've shared the gospel with, and it's one of those incredible God moments when God has opened their eyes and now they get it, and I just happen to get to be standing there and watch this happen to those people. You are the fragrance of life. But the Bible does say there's going to be a lot who don't want to hear what you have to say, who don't want to believe what you believe, who aren't going to want to be around you if you talk about it too much. And the Bible says to them, you're the smell of death. Now, why would we share? Here's why. Because God loves us so much. Because God loves us so much, we're to be reflections of God's glory. And what a God-glorifying moment when you and I take seriously our call to share Jesus with others. He's the only hope. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. There is so much spite and so much anger, and especially even among Christians today. And you get close to an election like we're getting ready to have here in a couple of weeks, and you just hear people spewing back and forth, and these people saying this, and these people saying this. And I want you to know, when is the last time that you and I have cried because our hearts have been broken for the people that we know and that we love who don't know Jesus? Listen, this isn't about coming to church and hearing a sermon and going home and hope that your life gets a little bit better. Because if it was about your life getting better, then when you got saved, God would have just taken you. That's not what it is about. Now, I told you before that that the most negative emails I've ever received since I've been at Hillview was on when I preached on a Sunday morning, and I commented on Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now. And I even went to great lengths to say I hadn't read the book, I wasn't criticizing him, his character, and I hadn't read the book, so I wasn't criticizing what was in the book because I didn't know. But I said I hated the title, Your Best Life Now. And I said that Sunday morning, if you are having your best life now, you're going to hell. If this is as good as it gets for you, you're going to hell. Because this is not my best life, and it can't come close to the life that I'm going to have when I leave this world and I'm with Jesus. But let me tell you something. I believe that. And what I want to ask you tonight is, do you really believe that? I mean, do you really believe that? There are nights when I get home and I'm so tired, and I've talked to everybody all day long, and I don't want to talk to anybody else. But when I get home, there's five people at my house, and that's without any guest, just five people. And they all want to talk to me. And I just want to go home, turn on my $12 box fan that I bought myself for Father's Day, and it aims right at my recliner. And the remote is right on my chair, or my family has learned that it is not pretty when Dad comes home and the remote is not on the chair. I had to train my wife because she liked to set it on the TV, and I never got that. Honey, if I'm going to get up and go to the TV to get the remote, then I'll stand there and change the channels. I want the remote on my chair. And I go home at night. And the kids will say, Daddy, are you going to pray with us tonight? Daddy, are you going to read the Bible tonight? And not so that you think I'm super spiritual. I mean, there are nights I don't want to. I'm tired. I don't want to read the Bible to them. I don't want to pray. And you can think that's horrible. Maybe you'll never come back on a Wednesday night. But if you never have those moments, you're a liar. But because I believe this, because I know it's ultimately the only hope my children have, when I don't feel like it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to pray, and I want them to know the incredible plans that Jesus has for their lives. I want them to know that in his hands, he created them. I want them to know that no matter how tough life gets, because you know there may be a day when they wake up and they don't have Dad anymore, and they don't have Mom anymore, I want them to know they're going to be okay because Jesus has them. And I said that to say, a lot of people don't share the gospel because they don't feel like it. I'm tired. Or they don't share the gospel because they're afraid how it's going to affect their friendships. And please hear me. Let me give a warning. It's going to affect your friendships. If people think you're a little too dependent upon Jesus, that's going to be a little weird to people that don't follow Jesus. And so you know what? I hope they get a little weirded out. You know, I got a buddy that's not a believer, and he's always talking to me about marriage. Not because he thinks I have it down, he just knows I haven't left. And he knows that she haven't left, and he wants to know what's the secret. And I tell him, I said, are you really asking me? You know what I'm going to tell you? He goes, yeah, it's Jesus. But it is. And I love it because I'm the last person that he calls when he has a problem. He calls a bunch of other people first because they have other advice. Well, me and my husband, we read a book and it changed our lives for 6 months, for a couple of weeks. But when Jesus works, it's eternal. And so he'll finally call me and he knows what I'm going to say. And it weirds him out a little bit. And maybe we're not as close as we could be. And maybe I don't get invited to some of the things that he plans because maybe, you know, he thinks it'd be a little weird to his other friends for me to be there. And it would because, you know, I'd be talking about Jesus while they're doing, you know, whatever they're doing. But I believe this. I believe this. Because it's not about being eloquent. It's not about having the right words to say. It's not about that. It's not about your presentation and how good you are. Listen to me. The Bible didn't tell you to go out and save people. Do you know why? Because you can't. You cannot remove the veil. Trust me, I have tried. Has there been somebody in your life and you've tried to remove the veil? It'll only be removed when God removes it. So as important as it is for me to share and love them, I better be praying for them too. That's why I talked about the altar. Maybe everything's great in your life, but we come to a time of altar, surely there's somebody that you can pray for. And just pray, Lord Jesus, remove their veil. Remove their veil. Because the truth is, if we're living our lives faithfully, Paul told the Corinthian believers, there are going to be some people, and to them, you are going to be the smell of death. Do you like to be around the smell of death? Do you? Can I break it down for you? You might be offended by what I'm about to say more than anything else. You know, we had a week when we had issues in the bathroom. That's all I'm going to say. It was the kids' bathroom, so it was probably 4 days before they told me. 4 days of them using it before they told me. And when they told me, I go down to the playroom, and just when I step into that room, the bathroom's still like on the other side of the room. It hits you. And Mildred would say something like, I'm looking for Molly's dress. I think it's down in the bathroom downstairs. Will you go down there? I said, nope. I won't. The kids wouldn't go. You know, we couldn't get anybody to go. It's just because you don't want to be around that. You don't want to be around that. I remember one time being with this guy all day long, and I thought he stunk to the high heavens. And I couldn't wait to not be with this guy anymore because he stunk so bad. And I just wondered, at some point in your parental training, you teach a kid about deodorant. Shouldn't you? I mean, it's cute when they're six and they don't have much of a smell, except maybe that outside smell. But when they get 16 and you know they don't have any friends, it's time to teach a kid about deodorant. And so this guy finally leaves and the smell didn't go away. And I thought, that guy stunk so bad, that smell's just going to stay around. But upon closer investigation, that guy was saying, I am so glad I'm not with the pastor anymore. He stunk. I don't know what it was. To some, we're going to be the smell of death. Listen to me. And I'm not trying to get you excited about this. If you're going to live your life for Jesus, it is going to adversely affect some of the close relationships in your life. But here's a promise that I want to make to you, because I've experienced this, I've witnessed this. When push comes to shove, you'll be the one that they call. You'll be the one that they come to, because they know that you are not sharing Jesus to annoy them. You are sharing Jesus because you love them. Even if they don't get it, they'll know you care. Only God can remove the veil. Only God can. And whoever you know, I don't even have to know them to know this. They're a sinner. Just like you and just like me, and the only difference is we've been forgiven. We're not better than anybody, did you hear me? We're not better than anybody, but we've been forgiven. This is the gospel. That God sent his only son to die on the cross and shed his blood so that our sin could be forgiven. And if you think somebody in some far off place is just going to be okay, then I'd have to ask you, then why did Jesus die? Does he have two standards, or is there one? Because as I read the scriptures, I believe it's clear that there is one standard. Your sin must be accounted for. And the good news, that's what gospel means, good news. The good news that we share is there is one who has come, he has died, and now our sin can be forgiven. Our veil can be taken away. So if you are under 30, everybody listen, everybody look up here. If you are under 30, I'm telling you, you ought to be going somewhere. You ought to be going somewhere. And I'm not saying pack up all your stuff and move there, although if you follow God, some of you will do that out of obedience, and he'll take you and do the most unbelievable things in your life. But listen, but every one of you ought to be going somewhere. somewhere. We ought to be sharing the gospel with people here, and we ought to be going way out of our way to share the gospel with people all over the world. You want to know what Hillview Heights Church believes? We believe everybody needs to hear the gospel. That's why there's a church in Costa Rica. And that's why I believe years down the road there's going to be churches on every continent, because we believe that Jesus is the only hope for a lost and dying world. Now, there is no doubt for some of you here tonight, you are going to struggle with this. Maybe some of you might even say, as I taught Bible study this past Monday for Pastor Steve, and we talked about these things, one person told me it disturbed them what I've shared, that it's disturbed them. And I said, I hope it disturbs you enough to do something about it. And so I want us to pray. I want us to pray that we be faithful. Let me just tell you why all these people are in your life. Some of you think you're just really wonderful and everybody wants to be around you. Can I help you with that? The people that are in your life are there because God has put them there. And he's entrusting you just to be a faithful Christian. Because you can't remove the veil. Only he can. And I want us to pray tonight for those people that we know and love that don't know Jesus, that God would remove their veil. I pray tonight that there's folks here tonight that are having that aha moment or that got it moment, and that maybe tonight God has removed your veil and you realize these things are true. You know that you're a sinner. You probably didn't need a lot of convincing on that. But you're also responsible for your sin. And the good news of the gospel is you can't do anything about your sin, but there is one who can, and his name is Jesus. So we have a time of altar, and I pray, if that's you tonight, Pastor Jeff will be here, I'll be here. We'd love to talk with you more and pray with you. I'm going to ask you to come tonight, and maybe you've struggled with this teaching tonight, and you just come and get on your face before God, because look, can I help you? This isn't my teaching, this is what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And you just come and you just wrestle with that, if that's what you need to do. And I'm praying to others of you that you would, God's already has people in your life, and that you would just be faithful to share Jesus with those people. Why do they think you've made it this far? Why do they think what they think about your life? If they think that it's anything other than Jesus, then it's because we haven't been faithful to let them know that it's only by the grace of God that there's anything that's good in our lives. It's because of him. Now, church, listen to me. I'm going to say it again. I believe this. I believe it. And I want to live that's what I believe. If some of you under 30 got a little rustled, maybe you felt a little challenged and you're wondering, well, where in the world would I go? What would I do? Right now in my office, I have 4,000 opportunities for short-term missions all over the world. So if you'll just call me with a continent, I'll tell you when there's a trip that you can go and you can be a part of. But let me warn you, if you do that, I got to give you this warning. If you do that and you go, your life will never be the same. It'll never be the same. And for the rest of you, they'll take people over 30. You can go too. Father, we love you. And Lord, I thank you that even though I was sprinting to hell as fast as I could go, you stopped me. You stopped me when I didn't care, when I didn't care about you, when I didn't care about living for you, when I didn't care about your glory, when all I wanted to live for was me, you stopped me and you removed my veil and you saved me. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for that. And I pray my life would never be the same because of that. And I pray that you remove veils here tonight. And I pray that hearts are challenged and encouraged tonight. And I pray that you would move in such a way that it moves us to live our lives faithfully for you. So be glorified, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.